Welcome to the Assistance Together podcast. My name is Henrietta Barker, and I started the podcast at the beginning of the coronavirus pandemic. There was a huge shift for assistants in every aspect of their work and life, and I wanted to make a space where you could have access to some of the most experienced trainers and leaders in our assistant community, as well as hearing other assistants' experience of what it was like working during this time. This podcast is one of the most fun things I've ever done. It's been so great to get to know some of you, and I am excited about sharing many more episodes over the next few months. Don't forget to rate and review so that other people can find it easily, and make sure you follow us on social. We are just about everywhere, so come and say hello. I can't wait to hear from you. Thank you for listening. Hi everybody, I hope you are all well and that you are coping wherever you are with any kind of lockdown situations and restrictions on your life. We're talking about it in the podcast quite a lot because it is still such an enormous topic about how it's affected your work, your lives, and how you are navigating everything that is being put in front of you at the moment. So I wanted just to take this time to say that I hope you're well. This week, I am speaking to Jessica Robbins, who is the PA to the GM of Yves Saint Laurent Beauty and PA to the GM of Lancôme. So she works for L'Oréal. And Jessica and I connected on Instagram quite a while ago, and I have wanted to speak to her for a long time because of her experiences working in such a large organization. Selfishly, my work is predominantly with smaller businesses, and I'm always fascinated to hear what it's like to work within such a big organization. I haven't worked in such a large organization ever, so I wanted to speak to her, and I am so grateful to her because she's spoken about her role really candidly. She's spoken about what it was like to join such a dynamic and fast-paced and cool kind of business, as well as how she's navigated the pandemic, what she's learned from it, what changes she's made to her life, and how she feels that she has been able to carve out a career for herself as an incredibly talented assistant in a world that is really changing dramatically. I really enjoyed this conversation because it was incredibly eye-opening for me. And I know that some of the things that Jess speaks about will for sure resonate with you. It's Jessica Robbins. She is the PA to the general manager. That's right, isn't it, Jess? I've got to make sure I get that right. Otherwise, I get it all wrong. Is it GM?
Yeah. So head of
Yves Saint Laurent Beauty and the PA to the GM of Lancôme as well. Now, to me, in my intensely naive state, that makes me just so excited because they're two brands that feel incredibly reassuringly familiar and glamorous.
Yeah.
And just my mind goes to all kinds of places when I think of working in that kind of environment. So do you think that that's what you thought a little bit when you applied for the jobs within the business?
It's a funny one because originally I was just applying for a role at Maybelline. It was for the L'Oréal brand family. So when I went for my interview, I actually had a YSL handbag with me trying to look the part. And the lovely lady who was interviewing me actually mentioned there was a PA role available in YSL Beauty and would I be interested? And it's actually my favorite brand in the entire world. So I jumped at the chance. So I wasn't too sure what to expect with it being L'Oreal and YSL Beauty. There's just so many different brands under the L'Oreal umbrella. So I was just really not sure what to expect. And when I joined, I felt completely like a fish out of water. It was just full of the cool kids, really edgy, high heels, lots of leather trousers and red lips.
That sounds very intimidating to me.
Beautiful, beautiful, talented people, very cool. And I felt like Andy from The Devil Wears Prada just walking in my, my really dowdy corporate wear. And Chanel brooch, may I add, which I thought would be me looking the part, not even thinking that was our one of our biggest competitors. So that was like a lead balloon on my first day. Definitely was so excited to work for such an incredible brand.
I bet you were. I definitely feel that that would be, it's, I suppose when I started at, I did work experience at Marie Claire, and I remember my first day there and I just thought I'd hit the jackpot, frankly, that, you know, I, like you, felt completely, you know, I felt I was not supposed to be in that environment. I was just so uncool compared to everybody else. And they were all wearing incredibly glamorous boots and high heels all the time. And I had about 50p in my bank account and I couldn't afford all those things anyway. But I had that same sense of joining something that people knew about, and you didn't have to explain where you were or what you were doing.
Yeah. I think as well, just finding your feet in a different industry was a huge challenge. I've come from tech for 11 years and it's very corporate, very, very business orientated. And then coming into such a vibrant and fun and hectic, eclectic place was just a huge culture shock. So I didn't know what to do with myself for the first 6 months, actually.
what were the things that made you feel like that? What were the kind of big differences for you?
I think the office culture, for a start. Obviously, like I say, everybody was so glamorous and cool and talented, and it was so fast-paced and not the kind of corporate, business-like, methodical environment I was used to, which was much more kind of Surrey. And then it was my first role in London, in the big city, and I just felt completely shocked by it. Just people were actually having fun in their day, running around. It was 100 miles an hour, and I just was so shocked by the pace. I've done fast-paced, but L'Oreal's just another planet in terms of pace. And just half the things, there's a lot of acronyms in the beauty industry. I had no idea what people were talking about. I was asked to book some travel for BAs. And in my head, I'm thinking British Airways, but it's actually beauty advisors, and just so many things to learn. And I had no handover. I was just thrown into my desk. And I just was so just stunned. I had no idea what equipment I was using, what the systems were. There was just kind of none of that handover. So I really did feel pretty immersed in a baptism of fire.
That's quite terrifying, actually, with no handover. So who did you look to help you through that time? Do you have mentors in a business that size? Is there somebody that you kind of could latch on to ask those questions, or did you really have to just find it out yourself?
Absolutely now, and there should have been, but I'm not sure what happened. I joined at a particularly difficult time where we had a headquarters visit happening. So that week was all hands on the deck, and the lead assistant, the executive assistant, who kind of, it's her job to nurture the Lux assistants, as we call ourselves. She just didn't have the capacity that week. She tried. So it was more of a case of trying to sit quietly and find the information. But due to the pace, I was panicking, thinking, oh my God, I don't want to keep asking my boss because that looks really incompetent. And she obviously thought I had been given a full handover pack, so was wondering why I was asking her certain things. So it's just a bit of a shambles, to be honest. But usually you would absolutely have the assistant looking after you. For your first week, you'd have one-to-ones with other assistants, people in your team, your boss. And you would be super well looked after. So it was just unfortunate for me, I think.
It was just a timing issue rather than anything else.
Yeah.
And so how did you get through it? What were the kind of strategies that you employed to talk yourself through that? Because it is daunting enough starting any job, isn't it? You know, you feel as that, what do they call it? They call it the halo effect. You know, and I think lots of, maybe people listening will know this feeling of like when you're, for example, getting out of a swimming pool and you think, God, I have to get out quite carefully here. And everyone will be looking, obviously. And it's called the halo effect because we feel the spotlight's on us. And I think in new jobs, there's definitely that horrible sensation of newness and that you're very obviously not part of the furniture yet in the nicest possible way. What things did you implement to try to talk yourself through it if you didn't have support of other people?
Well, my friends, firstly, were great.
Yeah.
I vented to them quite a bit, panicking in my first few weeks, thinking, what have I done? But I'm not a quitter. So I panicked inside and tried to remain unflappable on the outside and just observe people in my team, the Lux assistants that I worked with. And I found a few good eggs within those remits that kind of helped pull me through, I guess, made friends and just kind of didn't give up. I just thought, I'm not giving up. I'm doing this. This is my dream job and I'm not going to let my confidence or the fact that I don't have much order here ruin it for me. I'm a good assistant and I'm going to prove it.
Yeah, it was determination that saw you through.
Yeah. And then I gave myself 6 months to a year. I said, if I still feel like this, I'll leave. But until then, I've got to give it a really good shot. And so I did.
I love your attitude in that, because that when the first few weeks or months are rocky, we all feel like maybe, you know, we've made a terrible mistake, but also perhaps discount the ease that another company, knowing another business or working in a business for a long time, allows us and affords us that sense of ease in our working day and just getting all of it. You know, like we don't necessarily think about how much we take on or absorb the culture of the business either.
I think it's a really important factor in your job satisfaction, to be honest, and it's definitely something that for me has grown massively over my time. It's been nearly 4 years now, and honestly, my YSL team, I'm not sort of overly familiar with my Lancôme team just yet, so I'm hoping that will come in time. It's only been a month, but particularly my YSL team and my fellow PAs are honestly like friends or family to me. I've just so lucky that I've managed to build that kind of bond with them. Really important to me.
I wonder if luck is a factor, but also your ability to connect with people and nurture those working relationships. It's something I think about a lot for assistants. That the assumption can be sometimes that it doesn't take a lot of work because you're very personable, or because you're in an assistant or admin kind of role, that there isn't a real nuance and skill to building working relationships with people.
Yeah. Actually, I mean, I've had this in several of my roles where it's actually one of my biggest strengths of just looking after people, nurturing teams, bringing people together. And to be honest, team engagement to me is one of the biggest and most important parts of my role. I take it really seriously. And I'm really passionate about it. I love bringing my team together, doing little nice things for them, keeping them feeling valued and important, and keeping them smiling, particularly in this past year. It's so important. Everybody has their own struggles. Everybody works so, so hard. And I just think it's really important to make people smile and feel like they're valued and important.
Yeah, but that... that is really a skill, and it's almost instinctual of how you're, you know, within a team creating this dynamic of support, but also maintaining boundaries.
Yeah.
How do you feel that you allow yourself the freedom to make the kind of connections that you want while also maintaining these boundaries of your time and your energy? And your ability, because we all have a finite amount of time during the day.
Yeah, I think it took a while actually to learn the balance, particularly because the workload is huge.
Yeah.
Key and biggest part of your role is obviously to take care of your boss, protect their time, and help them to fly in what they're doing. So that's obviously your biggest goal. But I think it's a balance between bringing teams together and having them feel like they're valued and they trust you, you know, they talk to you, they confide in you, and still remaining super confidential with your boss, being fiercely loyal to them. I think it's something that you, if you're genuine in what you're doing, it just comes across that way. It's definitely something that I found difficult in the first 6 months, not having those relationships with people, and then eventually it just became like a natural flow for me. I always have time for my team. If somebody needs something, particularly my boss has a team of directors who have their own teams, so for me they are hugely important to me, so I will give them the time when they need it, because that obviously then in turn helps her. But actually I think if it's natural, it is a natural thing. You might find yourself working longer days to get everything done, but it's really important that I am that point of contact for my team and my brand, and I really enjoy it. It's a natural thing for me.
I think, I feel like you're spot on with that, that it's the extension of that into other realms of people rather than it just being the direct people that you're supporting. That's an interesting idea, that they're all part of that team as well, and therefore their well-being is equally as important.
Hugely, definitely. They all make up the success of our brand, basically, and they're humans. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the thing you shouldn't lose sight of, that people are humans and everybody is doing something that they're trying to be good at and that they care about, and they're working hard. And in this last year in particular, I think it's really important to just not lose that human touch with your teams.
How do you feel that working from home and being virtual, because we're still in the UK, we're still in a full lockdown at the moment, our third one, isn't it, Jess? I think if I'm counting correctly, it's our third one. How do you feel that that's changed or affected your working relationships with people? Because we're all now able to see people's homes and lives and the mess of life a bit more, which I think is really refreshing. I'm delighted to see how other people are being made aware of what people's lives are really like, whether it's kids, whether it's family, whether it's responsibility or whatever it is. Those lines have blurred a bit. How has that affected your working relationships, do you think?
I actually think it's strengthened them, ironically. As I say, being human is really important, and I'm really lucky to have a boss that takes that seriously too. She's a very humble and very human leader. So for her, she likes to know, you know, how's your child today? How's your setup? Are you coping okay? She's very supportive, and to the entire team. So that's great for me because that's my ethos completely. So it's nice to see people in their habitat, you know, even if they are struggling, juggling homeschooling or, you know, partners, they just want to chuck in the bin, just all of the stresses and struggles people are facing. It's nice to see people in their own habitat. And while it's changed things and we all miss each other and it's hard not to have that real connection face to face and celebrations together. I mean, L'Oréal's a very social organization. There's something happening almost every day. It's amazing. And that is sorely missed. But we've done such a good job at keeping the organization, the division, and our teams together. And I think it's just because it's genuine. We want to talk to each other. We have chats. We use Microsoft Teams, so we have a community there. So we're always sharing and updating, sending each other pictures, like, you know, what terrible thing did you bake today? What does your Christmas tree look like? We're just always keeping connected. And we have a big session once a month where we're all on camera, the field teams, all of the area managers and the head office teams and my boss, we'll all just get together. And the first thing she'll ask everybody is, how are you today? Really, just seriously on a human level, not about work, but how are you? And it's so refreshing because it's a human connection.
Do you think that is new to the, you know, throughout this, that was that something that was talked about before, or is it unique to this moment in time and our experiences?
I think the intention and the care was there before, but because we were just programmed that way to be 100 miles an hour in person, let's talk business, let's have fun, let's celebrate, it just wasn't really a question that was asked. Yeah. So I think this past year has highlighted that hugely. And I don't know, it's really changed a lot of people's thinking, which in turn has changed how we operate as a team. And we've become more of a family. We're being honest with each other, we're opening up, and I think it's really refreshing.
Oh, me too, because, you know, we're all programmed for professional work, aren't we, in lives, and having that persona, there's nothing wrong with it, I don't think. For me, there was never anything jarring. But this has certainly allowed us, even when I speak to people who I don't know very well, for them, if I say, how are you? I know that 9 times out of 10, they are going to tell me now how they are actually feeling. And yeah, that's just joyous for me. I love it. I love hearing if people are okay or they're not, or because you do connect on such a different level when you're able to ask those questions, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely. I think what it's done is just allowed everybody to slow down and actually value and appreciate the small things and each other. I mean, times of adversity, you really learn what's important and learn to appreciate everyone. And I'm pretty sure not every organisation is as caring and mindful. No. And so, I mean, I'm so lucky to work for somewhere like L'Oréal that actually really nurtures that, but I'm super aware that not every organization is like that, so that must be pretty tough.
No, I think you're 100% right. Not everyone's responding in the same way, but as it goes on, I wonder if more and more companies are, I'd be interested to find out more about that as just to whether things are changing longer term, or whether these things are going to be short-term things that people will want to move away from later on. I feel like we don't really know, do we, how any of this is going to shape us until a good few years after we're out of it.
It would be nice to think there's a balance and there's takeaways from the situation, and we can implement positive changes in the way we work moving forwards, even, you know, simply the fact of working remotely more often. L'Oréal's great in terms of working flexibly. We're allowed to be a bit entrepreneurial that way and work smart, as we call it. But now there's, you know, you can do it more regularly. You've shown that you can completely do your job anywhere. And I think the trust thing is huge. I'm hoping more companies will be a bit more forward thinking that way now.
Yeah, I love the remote working. for people, especially for assistants, actually, where with people, you know, clients that I've worked with, and I asked a question about flexible working, something that's very much been on my mind for years, that my job, in the same way that assistants roles, it's hard to not be available. And because of the nature of both our work, there's an expectation of a bit availability and, you know, being fast to respond and making sure that we are available. I wonder that the flexible working element for people, whether they're parents or not, because often it's sort of pushed towards parents, isn't it, having the opportunity to have flexible working. And I think it's just people that require flexible working because we've all got lives. I wonder if that will change longer term. I hope so. I do hope so.
I feel personally, and I've said this to my boss, that my energy levels are so much higher at cutting out that 2-hour commute each way.
Yeah, of course.
Just be 4 hours a day that's taking me to try and juggle my phone on the tube, like we were saying, being in somebody's armpit on the way home, you know, on the district line. Just having that taken away is hugely beneficial. I can be more readily available around the clock if you need me. I'm quite happy to log on at 8-9 o'clock at night, check my emails. You know, my bosses would probably not contact me much outside of business hours because it's very respectful, but if they needed to, they know they can, and I would action it immediately. But my enthusiasm for that in our role is greatly higher, having that flexibility to refresh your energy levels. I don't know if other people are finding that.
Well, my husband announced to me that he doesn't think he wants to return to the office full time, which is really exciting, dear listeners. I was like, what? I was thinking that he'd go back. I don't know how that'll pan out, but I was like, oh my goodness, that means that we'll both be at home, because I work from home all the time. I have done for years. But yeah, I think, I mean, it seems ridiculous, doesn't it, that it's taken something like this to push us forward in a lot of ways that we knew were important already. We knew that people's mental health was a factor in their working environment, that companies weren't trusting their employees to really take charge of their role and choose to do that in the office or outside of the office. That was a huge trust issue that I feel like companies were forced into a corner because of this circumstances, to actually accept that their teams were trustworthy if they weren't sitting right next to them.
Yeah. I've heard this from a lot of other friends and network assistants who felt they were working for companies that were not as trusting before. And now their way of thinking is changing slightly, but they're not sure how much it will be implemented when we come out of this situation. So it will be interesting to see. But I think as assistants, particularly as there is a whole career out there for virtual assistants, and it's a very successful world, that we more than anybody can do our roles from absolutely anywhere. And I think we're having the chance to prove that now, which is quite exciting. I think it's quite a revolutionary time.
I do. I hope that it, well, I know that it will, these things will take time, won't they, to filter through, as they always do, because we have to have a little bit of time between the event and being able to actually look back on it, which we're right in the middle still, so we still can't do that. But the idea of work changing and our working lives changing, it feels right. It's been a long time coming, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
For sure. How do you feel that your work has changed during the pandemic? Or your, I know that you speak very highly of L'Oreal and the teams that you work with. How has it been just for you personally to adapt to this way of working?
It's been eye-opening, actually. I was at the point of probably the highlight of my career when we went into the pandemic. So kind of last February time, I was really excited. I was being given the responsibility of co-organizing the Lux Division conference for 400 people. I'd wanted to do it for a while. Events is something that I'm super interested in. So we were kind of flying to Amsterdam and traveling around the country, looking at sites and potential venues and setups for this event. But I was burnt out. I was working till midnight, answering emails at 5 a.m. and just, you know, when you're really enjoying what you're doing and you're super excited, but you're so exhausted. I was finding myself going to at least 2 networking events a week. And obviously you're out, you're meeting people, and that's outside of work. So in the evenings in London, and you're kind of just absolutely shattered, but super elated. So I think when we went into lockdown, I was just hugely shocked to just stop, and I got really depressed actually in the first kind of month of being locked in. I was just finding my feet in London and really kind of taking off and being excited, and then it just felt super scary. And all of the news, I mean, back then we just used to listen to the news all the time, and What the hell is this virus? What's going to happen? Are we all going to die? You know, all of that panic. So I think I found it quite shocking to just suddenly stop and try and adapt to doing my job sat in my flat. But actually, after a couple of months of that, I learned that slowing down was actually a really good thing. It gave me the time to focus on what I was doing 100%, give 100% to my boss better. You know, we found a really great rhythm together, and I found it just gave me time to reflect on myself a little bit, and just kind of remember who I am and not this kind of all or nothing person. So actually for me, I think it did me a lot of favors. I ended up moving out of London last November and just coming back home to Surrey, and it just feels really nice to have the balance of my roots, being in the country, being around my friends, and remembering who I actually am, but still having this job that I absolutely love, and knowing that I still have that, you know, team family, I guess. So for me, it's been a really big blessing in disguise, although it's been tough.
Yeah, I like in the beginning of the lockdown for everyone, it's like putting the brakes on, wasn't it? Because it was terrifying. And also nobody imagined that countries would ever be able to be fully locked down in the way that no one would imagine that that would be something we were going to do. And that initial sort of horror of it all, and scrambling around trying to find our feet whilst coping with all that news. You're right. I mean, goodness, all the news, just so much news. It sounds like it's been a very transformative time for you.
Yeah, I think it has. Tough, but transformative, you're right.
Yeah, because it's often in careers, I feel like we're really pushing. There's a lot of striving. And rightly so, if you're ambitious and that's what you want. But the striving can take over the other things. And can sometimes leave us feeling exhausted and depleted. Like you said, even though you loved what you were doing, the enjoying what you're doing isn't the factor that affects how you feel about just being worn out.
Yeah, I think you just don't have time to actually appreciate things because you're 100 miles an hour and don't stop. So you can never really give anything 100% and really think about what you're doing.
And have you engaged more with people? Something I'm always fascinated about. During the last year or so, have you engaged more with people online, other assistants? Have you engaged more with communities online? Are they important to you?
They're really important to me. I actually don't think it's it's kind of increased or lessened in the past year. It's kind of remained consistent. I'm still attending virtual networking events and a member of Miss Jones and keeping up with all of the PA communities and also just reaching out to my friends. I have a lot of assistant friends and just checking in on them. I think now you have time to check in on people.
Yeah.
You know, I think keeping up your networks always is really important, but especially in a time like this, and supporting each other, because there's assistants all over the world, and some have reached out to me from Australia, America, and it's so nice to hear from them and just hear how they're doing, how what's happening where they are, you know, what cool things are they trying to do to keep themselves educated and developing. And I think it's really important and inspiring.
Oh my goodness, completely. Because but I feel like it's allowed that kind of that conversation to go deeper because of what situation we're in.
Yeah, I think when people are dying, it's a huge time of uncertainty and fear, and people are losing their lives and getting sick and going through a lot of heartache. And I think when life brings something like that to you, to everyone, it just makes you appreciate the more human element of life and how fragile everything is. And it really puts everything into perspective and makes you, well, personally believe in being a better human and just a bit more caring.
Oh my goodness, I completely agree with you. I really like this. I like this change, as awful as the circumstances have been in order to get us to that point. I do really appreciate that.
Yeah.
People's thinking.
Definitely.
And how do you see yourself in your career now? That's a bit of a recruitery question. Sorry, everyone. But reaching the level of success that you have, building on what you have been doing, what do you feel like the future will be, or what are your hopes for it, I suppose?
It's a really funny one, because a lot of people ask me this question, and I, leveling up, I am somebody that was homeless at 16. I had to bring myself up. I didn't have hardly any GCSEs. It was a real uncertain upbringing for me, and I'm just happy to have got to where I am. I genuinely don't have a life plan or a career plan. I'm just trying to do what I enjoy, do what I'm passionate about, learn as much as I can while I'm doing it. And then just, it's a natural progression for me, learning how to bring teams together, learning how to throw really good events, learning more about what I'm doing as an assistant, networking. I think I'm a bit of a free spirit, and I think I'm just grateful to have a job right now, to be honest, especially one that I completely adore. And for me, that's enough. Wherever the wind blows me is where I'm meant to be. So as long as I'm doing something I love and I'm enjoying it and I'm good at it and I'm always learning, then that's great.
That is a brilliant sort of bouncing off point in life, isn't it? For all things being possible and all things being exciting.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, genuinely put so much pressure on ourselves to see the end goal, which isn't always helpful. I know everyone talks about goal setting, but I'm terrible at them. I'd rather see what happens.
I think so. It's important. I mean, it's great to have ambition and goals and plans, but it doesn't have to be for everybody. You don't have to have a career plan or a life plan. You can actually just enjoy the moment and see where you end up and try and get to where you want to be. It can be natural.
That is perfect. Really, really enjoyed our conversation. Thank you.
Thanks for having me, Hen.
How can people get in touch with you if they want to connect with you? Where's the best place to find you?
I am on LinkedIn. Anybody, feel free to connect with me. I'd love to hear from you. I'm Instagram at Jestagrams. It's a very real and personal account, so it's not all business. So feel free to add me, give me a follow. Yeah.
Perfect. Those are the two pieces. We connected on Instagram, didn't we?
We did.
I had a look this morning and I realised that we're not even connected on LinkedIn.
Oh, add me. Add me immediately.
Wow. I'm doing it now as we speak. I'm doing it now. Thank you so much for all your time. It has been fantastic to speak with you. Thanks for being so candid about your experiences of pandemic and life and careers. It's been just lovely to hear your thoughts about what's been happening.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me, Hen.
Wasn't that great? It was so brilliant to hear her. Such thoughtful and considered answers about her experiences, and I'm sure it resonates with a lot of you, this idea of being more connected to people and more open about how we're feeling about our work and our lives. And probably for the first time for a lot of us in the whole of our career have we been able to discuss these things. So I'm so glad that Jess was the catalyst for us to have this conversation. I'd be interested to hear your experiences of lockdown life and pandemic work experience or lack of work, as some of you have been in touch to say that some of the other episodes about job searching have been really helpful because the climate and market is so volatile at the moment. So thank you so much for getting in touch. It is lovely to hear from people, and I'm always interested to get feedback about how we can do things better or topics that interest you and are current and relevant for you at the moment. So do get in touch if you want to. You can email me directly, actually. It's hen@henriettabarker.com. You can get in touch with me on LinkedIn, on all the social platforms pretty much. And although I'm a bit rubbish at Twitter, we've established that already, haven't we? Have a lovely week. I look forward to being back next week. Take care.